Welcome to Stoma and Continence Conversations from Coloplast Professional. I'm Hannah, Ostomy Care Associate Education Manager at Coloplast. Working in specialist care, I know that stoma, bowel and bladder issues impact the lives of those you care for. This podcast is here to support your educational needs and help you in supporting your patients. You'll hear from fellow healthcare professionals and experts by experience discuss the latest hot topics in the worlds of stoma, continence care and specialist practice. Today, I am lucky enough once again to be joined by one of our Coloplast ambassadors, the lovely Yvette. Hi, Yvette.
Hi.
So if we do hear any background noise, please don't worry. It is all normal. We just have snow days and puppy dogs everywhere, I think, for poor Yvette at the moment.
It's just the regular chaos in my house.
So, Yvette, so as I've said, you're one of our Coloplast ambassadors. So if you'd like to just give us a little bit of an introduction about yourself, so where you're from and a little bit of your stoma history, please.
So I'm Yvette. I'm from Derbyshire. I am a stay-at-home mum of four kids. I had a stoma in 2013 after having been diagnosed with ulcerative colitis when I was 19 years old.
Well, so you've had your stoma now. So is it the 10-year anniversary this year, I'm guessing then, 10-year anniversary?
Yep, 10 years. It'll be 10 years in July, yep.
Wow. How long were you on medication for, or did you even go down the medication route with ulcerative colitis, or were you straight to surgery?
No, so when I was diagnosed, it was after the birth of my first child when I was 19. Went through sort of the pregnancy with him, really struggling, bleeding, lots of visits to the toilet. The midwives decided that they wanted to just tell me it was hemorrhoids, which was a bit extreme for just hemorrhoids in pregnancy. But yeah, so I went through the whole pregnancy from about 5-6 weeks pregnant, bleeding and lots of visits to the toilet. Then after the baby was born, Alex, the oldest, immediately after birth, I must have spent an hour and a half in the toilet, absolutely glued to the toilet, really not very well. And then it took them months to diagnose. But once I did have diagnosis, initially, they still weren't sure what was going on. When Alex was 6 weeks old, I ended up in hospital really seriously poorly, blood transfusions and all sorts of things. They were guessing maybe Crohn's, maybe colitis, weren't really sure, sent me home on steroids and I was absolutely fine. But then, of course, the symptoms kicked back in again and ended up being properly diagnosed when he was about 6 to 8 months old. Over the next sort of like 12 years or so, I was on and off medication. So we tried the basics, the sulfasalazines, all that kind of stuff. And then before the birth of my second child, Morgan, sort of 3 and a bit years later, they put me on azathioprine, so immunosuppressant type stuff. That did work really, really well to start with. But then over time, my body started to reject it and it wasn't happy. And my white cell count was just on the floor. So they had to stop that. And then over the course of the next sort of 5-6 years or so, I'd say, it was up and down, in and out of hospital, high dose steroids all the time, until we got to the point in 2013. So the pregnancy with my third child in 2010 with Amber, beautiful pregnancy. My colitis was the best it had ever been. I actually thought it had gone. I know that's not possible, but you know, I felt that well. The pregnancy was amazing. But then on the flip side, 22 months later, when I had a sister, Ruby, the pregnancy was horrific. The whole pregnancy I spent on 40 milligrams of steroids, pretty much going up and down them, really not well at all. But yet when I had her, the breastfeeding hormones, the natural hormones from pregnancy, that big dose of steroids kept me on an even keel for the majority of the next 13 months. But yet when she was sort of 13 months old, it was very fast. Massive flare up came on really, really quickly. And then it wasn't controlled with steroids. At that point, we knew I was getting steroid resistant. And as admitted to hospital, they put IV steroids in. That didn't work. They tried cyclosporine. They were going to try some of the biologic type stuff, but because I was still breastfeeding Ruby then at the time, they were a bit unsure whether that was going to be safe. So they just went with the cyclosporine, which they knew that I could still feed with her. The hospital were brilliant. They let Ruby stay with me. We had a little travel cot in the room. But even the cyclosporine wasn't working. I think my lowest point in hospital was at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd got this 13-month-old baby on my knee. I was breastfeeding. I sat on the toilet. I'd been on that toilet for best part of 45 minutes to an hour. And I just sat there and I sobbed. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Absolutely cannot do this anymore. It's not fair on her. It's not fair on me. And a partner at the time, he was staying in hospital with me because there was times where I was trying to dash to the toilet. I was holding a baby. Like I didn't have enough hands. I was like rushing to the toilet. He'd have to bring the baby to me if I needed to feed her in the middle of the night on the toilet. It was horrific, absolutely horrific. And at that point, I must have weighed 5 stone 5. I was high dose steroids. They were like, look, the cyclosporine's not working. The IV steroids isn't working. The surgeon, which actually he ended up being a bit of a family friend in the end, because a few years previously he'd operated on my dad and done a bowel resection on my dad for sort of cancerous cells in his large bowel. And so he already knew my dad very well. And so by that point, there was rumblings of maybe we should consider surgery. And just by pure chance that day, my dad was going, he'd been visiting me and he was going down in the lift, and he actually saw his surgeon in the lift, and he was like, you need to come upstairs with me. So the surgeon came to visit me and he's like, look, Yvette, I'm going to be blunt with you. It's going to be a bag or a box. And you've got this baby here, and I think you know what the decision needs to be. And as much as I was petrified, and actually at that point, I wasn't so much scared of the actual surgery and having a stoma. That wasn't what I was scared of. I was a young mum of, 31, and I had 4 children all at home. The thing that I was most scared of at the time was I was petrified I was going to die. Like, am I going to wake up from this operation? All the language that the doctors had used had been very much a case of like, oh, you know, you're on high dose steroids, the infection rate's going to be really, really high because your immune system's suppressed, you don't weigh very much, you've been poorly for so long, all this kind of stuff. And all this language that all I was hearing from the medical people was, wow, this is really big, serious stuff. And yes, it was major surgery. And yes, I did end up with pneumonia afterwards. But just the whole language of the way that the medical professionals described things and said things, it was petrifying. Absolutely petrifying.
We hear that a lot. It's almost quite negative language in there. I mean, we hear a lot of people say that, unfortunately, you're going to have a stoma. And there is that almost initial negativity, you've failed medical management. And I hate that phrase, you've failed medical management. No, medical management has failed you. It's a negative way around the language of things. And whereas there should be more positivity put on that, like, look, actually, we can do this surgery for you that has the potential to make you so much better than what you are now. It's not put across that way.
It's one of my biggest bugbears, massive bugbears. I mean, even when I was only, 22, 23, the gastroenterologist consultant that I had at the time, he was like, your colitis is really hard to manage. Unfortunately, I think at some time in the future, you're going to have to look at having to have your bowel removed. But actually, if I knew then what I know now, I probably would have opted for surgery sooner. If I'd have known that I wasn't going to spend my life glued to the toilet anymore, if I knew that that child, that if my, you know, youngest Ruby, she was never going to have to be breastfed on the toilet, if I would have known all of that, I probably would have opted to have surgery sooner, just simply because to me it's a positive option, not, you know, oh well, I'm terribly sorry, this is, oh, you know, it's the end of the line, well, we've run out of options. All these phrases, they just have these massive negative connotations that don't need to be there.
Absolutely. And this kind of leads you on to something I was actually going to say, and you've really already said it, that I think medication, yes, medication is fantastic, but actually sometimes it's utilized too much, where I said you'd wish you'd had the operation 10 years prior almost, and you would have felt that you'd had a higher quality of life then. And I think there isn't enough emphasis on stomas being that higher quality of life option. It's still even now thought of as being so negative. And I do think it's such a shame. And I know that I've spoken to you previously, you know, I've had my own stoma, which I've had reversed. And I went through a really similar experience to yourself, where it was sold to me as a negative factor. Unfortunately, because of your family history, because of your colitis, we're going to have to operate you. You're going to have a stoma bag, unfortunately. And all I can remember hearing is, unfortunately, nothing. This is going to give you your life back. You're going to feel so much better now. It might be a little bit hard initially, you know. Let's not beat around the bush. We both know that it is hard initially, but actually it's so positive at the other end of it. And It is frustrating when you hear it being spoken like that.
100%. And also the other thing, like now I've got problems that are as a result of the medications that I've taken. Like, so from the steroids and all the high dose steroids and the long-term use of it, you know, they've said that I've got the early stages of osteoporosis, so osteopenia. I've also got, you know, scarring on my face and on my back from the steroids that gave me the most horrendous acne that I have ever had. You know, that's stuff that I'm never going to be able to reverse or change or get rid of. It's stuff that stuck with me for the rest of my life. When I look in the mirror and I see the scars on my face, I'm just reminded of, oh, thanks, colitis. That was your fault that I had to take the steroids. But actually, if I'd have had the option or been given a more positive outlook on surgery by the medical professionals, then I might not have all those things. But interestingly, it's also not, it's not just the medical professionals, it's the language that they use to the older generations as well. Because I can remember being admitted to hospital for that. I had a blockage once, and I was admitted to hospital, and there was this old lady across the bay, and you know, where we got chatting, as you do when you're in hospital, and she said to me, she said, oh, you know, why are you in here? And I explained, and she goes, oh, you're too young for one of those. And I just thought, actually, do you know what? No. You wouldn't be having a conversation with me if I didn't have it, because I'd be dead.
It's society as well. I think it's put in a box as being an end of line or an old person issue. It's not thought of as a curative procedure. And really, it is, which now makes me want to look at the positive side of things. So you had a horrific time with your colitis. There's no two ways about it. So at what point then would you say that you started to then really feel the benefit of life with the stoma? Did you have like a breakthrough moment where you thought, oh my gosh, this is wow?
There was a couple of moments. One, interestingly, was literally within an hour of waking up from my surgery. Yes, I was drugged up. Yes, I was not feeling amazing, but I did kind of wake up and come around. And I remember being in a side room, and I woke up and I thought, wow, I feel so much better. Now, whether that was psychosomatic, because I knew that, you know, this awful colitis had been removed from me and, you know, hopefully my life was going to get better, I don't know. But there was that moment. And then probably within another hour or so after having the surgery, people might think I'm a little bit gross, but before my surgery, I asked the surgeon, I said to him, I says, look, would you be able to take a photo of my bowel when you've removed it? And he looked at me like I was completely, absolutely psycho. And I said to him, I says, no, I love this kind of stuff. I've got a degree in healthcare and health science. I want to be able to place what had gone on in my head. And he came around to see me a couple of hours after I was out of surgery. And because I'd not opted for the morphine pump and I'd got an epidural, by this point, I was actually a bit more awake. And he actually showed me the photo. And that was a massive penny drop moment for me. It was amazing because I was completely shocked. And not only was I shocked, I was like, wow, 100% I've made the right decision. Once I saw that photo, I just knew. And if ever I have days of a wobble of thinking, why on earth did I do this? You know, everybody who's got a stoma, they have days of wobbles.
Oh, absolutely.
But I only have to go and find that photo on my phone and take a look and go, you did the right decision, girl.
The reason I'm laughing a bit is I did exactly the same. I actually, I had a photo of mine. Unfortunately, mine has got lost throughout changing phones over the years, but I was exactly the same as you. I got a photo of mine and I said, there are those moments when you're having dark days, you have to go, oh God, I didn't want that in me anymore. And it's those little breakthrough moments, and it's those moments of positivity. And you're right saying that not all days are good days, but they by far outweigh the days of colitis when, you know, you almost have to try and pick out those good days with colitis. And now it's almost the bad days are few and far between. It's such a different lifestyle. So do you have any recollections of when you had things like your first holidays, say, when you had your stoma done, anything like that, or first day trips out?
Yeah, so I have a very, very, very vivid memory. I must have been maybe 4 weeks post-op, maybe.
So quite soon.
We went into our local shopping centre and we went into Pizza Express. And I remember sitting there. Yeah, I was still not great, but I remember sitting there thinking, God, this is amazing. I managed to eat a whole meal without having to dash to the toilet, without having to think, oh my God, I've got stomach ache. Oh no, I need to dash. All that, I just sat there. And I remember saying to my family at the time, I remember, I've got to feel so liberated. I feel absolutely liberated that I am not 3 mouthfuls in. Oh no, here we go, off I go. Tell them to keep my food warm. Don't let them take it away. None of that. It was amazing.
I think it was Kathleen that we spoke to previously that said, little things like that, being able to sit down and enjoy a meal with family without having to disappear off every 5 minutes to go to the toilet. Actually being able to enjoy that, sitting down and enjoying a meal with family and friends is one of those, you said the word exactly, liberating, absolutely liberating.
It was entirely liberating. And then when I went on my first holiday after I'd had my stoma, yeah, it was a bit different because I had to think, oh, you know, how much supplies am I going to have to pack? Am I going to get stopped at the airport security and all this? It was a whole new way of thinking. But again, it was so liberating just simply because I knew I was going to be able to actually have the holiday for a start. There was going to be no sort of like questions till the last minute. Oh, can we go? Can we not? I mean, there's been times where we've had to rearrange whole holidays from, you know, not flying, cancelling, you know, aeroplane trips, to changing them to trains and boats just simply because I needed to be near a toilet because I was in a flare-up. Whereas this whole now new way of thinking of like, oh, you know, I don't have to be dashing to a toilet every 2 seconds. I can pre-plan things. It was, again, completely liberating and quite emotional, actually, because it was sort of like, wow, it's like I've got a whole new life. It was really liberating.
It is like having a new life or getting your life back, I always say, and does make you feel quite emotional sometimes. I still get emotional now, and when I talk to likes of yourself and some of the other ambassadors, it does bring up my emotions. So you have to excuse me from time to time. I do get a bit emotional about it myself, and it's those little factors. Like I say, not having to rearrange things, actually being able to plan something. I know you're going to be able to enjoy it because ulcerative colitis or Crohn's or whatever IBD you might have isn't going to come up and quite literally bite you on the backside at some point. It's, you're almost in control of your own destiny a little bit.
Exactly. And all those things are so much more doable now. Like even learning to drive. I mean, before, there's absolutely no way I could have learned to drive because the stress of doing that kind of thing, even just thinking about it, would induce a flare up. Or even just, you know, sitting in a car, the thought of sitting in a car for 2 hours driving around and not being able to get to a toilet was just horrendous. Whereas in 2018, I passed my driving test. It was so liberating again to be able to be really nervous before my driving test and not have to go and do that dash to the toilet. You know, that sort of like nervous poo type thing, it just wasn't there. I just was so happy that like I could go, and you know, I did it and I passed first time. And again, the same thing with my degree. You know, during lockdown, I had 4 kids at home, all of them with some kind of additional needs that they need extra support with at school. I was writing a dissertation. I was dealing with the stress of like the unknowns, like we all were in a pandemic. And yet I didn't have the worry of having a colitis flare. Yes, doing the degree, there's absolutely no way I would have been able to do the degree when I had colitis, simply because the idea of sitting an exam, the stress, the anxiousness, all that kind of stuff, that would have just caused more problems than I needed at the time.
Utter triggers. Mm. All those scenarios that you put yourself in are just complete and utter triggers. Biggest thing I can get for you, your stoma has given you your life back.
100%. It's given me my life back. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. There are still, you know, bad days. You know, I've got other health issues as well, but there are still bad days. And I know sometimes, you know, they do talk about things like, oh, you know, you'll be well. But yes, I'm well. But, you know, there is still the fatigue that I've got left over. There is still the, you know, the issues with the bones from the steroids and all that kind of stuff and the aches and the pains. But from the point of view of living my life in the toilet, yes, I've got my life back. And, you know, that's not to say that having a stoma doesn't come with its own trials and tribulations. You know, the amount of times I've been in and out of hospital with blockages and being very naughty and eating things that I probably shouldn't, and having adhesional pain and rectal pain and all those kind of things that come with having a stoma. But even then, they still seem doable when I'm not spending half of my life glued to the toilet.
Yeah, exactly. It is those little parts can become more bearable because it's not your whole entire life. It's not your day to day to day to day. And I think everybody that we've ever spoken to with IBD has said it's those dark days where you are just spending more of your day in the toilet than you are out of it. And that isn't a way to live your life. And how that can be, should I say, how stomas can be thought of as a negative thing when that's the alternative. It baffles me at times. It really, really does.
You know, when Alex was really young, you know, when I was in the early days of colitis, I took to having a toy box in the bathroom just simply because so the child could sit on the floor and I could read books to him on the toilet and we could play with Lego and cars and all sorts of stuff. And that's just not normal for a child to have to grow up like that with their mummy glued to the toilet and then playing on the bathroom floor. Like you say, it was those dark days and even days just like, you know, my father-in-law, he very kindly assisted with school runs and stuff. But there was days where, like, last minute I was supposed to be taking these children to school and I was glued to the toilet. And, you know, I didn't feel like I was being there for my children by, you know, doing the school runs, doing the mummy thing, because I was glued to the toilet. And I said, oh, no, it's all right. It's all right. Papa's going to take you to school today, when all they really wanted was me. So that mum guilt that every mum gets is just completely sort of like blown out the park, really, because it's just so much more when you're having to deal with your own long-term health condition and when you're trying to parent your child as well.
Yeah, again, we've spoken to others of our ambassadors that spoke about that mum guilt because they're not there as much as they want to be able to be for their children. And how fantastic now that you're getting to have all these experiences with your family, your children, obviously the dogs as well. And if it's okay with you, we're going to be having your social media details in the podcast description so people can have a little look at your, you know, all the fun that you're able to have with the stoma and the dogs, of course, as well.
Of course.
Thank you so much for spending some time with me today, Yvette, and hopefully you'll join me again at some point.
Yeah, 100%. Lovely to see you, and I'll be back soon.
Thank you very much, Yvette. I'll see you soon. And to everyone out there, we'll look forward to you joining us in the next podcast.
Stoma and Continence Conversations is brought to you by Coloplast Professional. To learn more, visit coloplastprofessional.co.uk.